Thank you for tuning in to the JBV Radio Show. We welcome you to our special guest audio series. So grab your pen.
Your pen.
Anything you need. We pray that you hear a word from the Lord that will change your life. Today, our guest audio teacher is Apostle Corey Thompson.
Greetings, I am Apostle Corey Thompson, and today I want to welcome you in today as we begin to share with you the kingdom perspective. That's right, the kingdom perspective. Today is a very significant day, beloved, because God has you in mind. He has you in mind. Today being a day that is so keen of importance and significance in the heart and the mind of our Creator, that you play a very specific and significant part in it. Today I want to share with you the elements of the kingdom of God, four elements of the kingdom of God as we take an in-depth look at the kingdom perspective. You do understand now that we are in a time where there's a lot going on in our society. No matter where you may be or where you find yourself today, I need you to understand that I've got great news for you today to tell you how special you are to God. That's right. In the mind of our Creator, before time got started, you and I was in the mind of our God. Listen, four elements of the kingdom of God I want to share with you, and they are such. Number one, there are always four dimensions to a kingdom. And what you and I need to understand is number one is the first element of any kingdom is that of a king, supreme ruler or governing agent, if you will. The second that we want to look at is the territory, the specific location, the locale, the boundary lines of a kingdom. The third aspect we want to look at is the subjects or the citizens within a territorial jurisdiction. And lastly, we want to look at the form of government through which the will of the ruler is exercised. The Bible is very clear when it talks about in Isaiah chapter number 9, verse number 6 and 7. I want to read it for you out of the NIV. And it says this, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Verse number 7 says, "Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with both justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this very thing." That's exciting to understand and to note, because you must understand, as we say again, that in the mind of God, you and I lie at his heart, lie at the very core of his thought process, meaning, therefore, that you and I are the expressed thought of God manifested in the earth. Did you hear what I just said? I said you and I are the expressed thought of God manifested in the earth. So then what is the intent of God's purpose for you and I in the earth? Well, Genesis chapter number 1 begins to say that after God created man, that he begins to give both man and woman dominion in the earth. That word dominion means the supreme authority to rule well. And so you got to understand this, that when you think about who you are, it's important to understand that you are called to a place of royalty and rule in this realm. Most don't really think of themselves as royalty in that light. But I got a question that for you. If you only think of Queen Elizabeth as royalty and not think of yourself as royalty, then you begin to think too low of yourself, because God created you with the intent of mind that he needed someone to rule well in the earth realm. That person is none other than you. Yes, I'm talking to you. you, you who are looking at me right now, no matter where you are, no matter what you've been through, no matter where you may find yourself today, God wants you to know that He has specific instructions and He has a specific desire and He has specific instructions with you in mind. In other words, God has something for you to do. Did you hear what I said? You may be questioning yourself right now when you're saying that I don't think God can use me. What is it that God will see in me that He could use me in the earth? Well, I want you to understand this, that God, my God, understands right where you are. And before time got started, understand He had you in mind. First, 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 8 says this, and I think it's important for us to understand. It says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And He encourages us not to forget, but guess what we have done? We have forgotten that very thing. 2,000 years into the future, it is difficult now that we don't understand the seasons and the timing of God, so that from the time of Christ until now has been approximately a little more than 2,000 years ago or 2 days. Did you hear what I said? Either 2,000 years or 2 days. Can I tell you, Jesus now is standing between 2 days. Can I tell you this? He says, no man taketh my life, watch this, for I lay it down. And if I lay it down, I have the power, the authority to build it up again or to pick it up again or to raise it again. And so He's standing between 2 days building, watch this, building an environment, building a people that, watch this, will bring Him glory and rule, watch this, as He has intended for you to rule in the earth realm. Most today, I would even venture to say, most today are consumed with knowing what it is that God can do for them rather than knowing God Himself. Did you hear what I just said? I said most are consumed with knowing what God, or desiring to know what God can do for them, versus knowing God Himself. What does that have to do with anything? It is important that you understand through relationship with our Heavenly Father that it is the very relationship that is the currency of the kingdom of God. It is relationship, beloved, that is the currency of the kingdom of God. And so with that being understood, it is my desire to know the complexities of God, to know the complexities of His divinity, to understand whether or not He is a diaphysite or whether He's a monophysite, whether He is understanding what the early theologians called Him was the theanthropos. Theos meaning God, anthropos meaning man. He is the God-man with intent, with purpose, with an original plan for His creation. I want you to consider for a moment God, who is the creator of all. Elohim is His name, creator of all. Can you just begin to imagine the creator of all, watch this, is having you, that's right, you, on His mind today. I said the creator of all has you on His mind. What does this have to do with this kingdom perspective? Well, the perspective that we want to share today would be what God's view is concerning your significance and your involvement in the kingdom in this earth realm today. The perspective that God has, what lies in the mind of God? What is on His heart? One says that the scripture says that His thoughts are higher than ours, and His ways are much higher than ours. There would be those that would even argue, say that it's impossible to know what's on the mind or to know the mind of Christ. But I beg to differ today, because if that was the case, that He would never have said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you this, that you need to understand, beloved, that just as He stated in Genesis chapter number 1,
Watch this, beginning with verse number 11. It says, then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, and they shall reproduce after its own kind. They shall reproduce after its own kind. What does that mean? I want you to picture this. God seeded his son, the pattern son, into the earth realm, a king, a priest, and a prophet. He seeds him into the earth realm. The Bible says that every seed produces after its own kind. What does that have to do with me, Apostle? I'm glad you asked, because I got good gospel news for you today. It simply means that the Bible says that he became the firstborn among many brethren, among many sons. And so that means that except the corn and wheat fall to the earth and die, it cannot bring forth fruit. Jesus becomes that seed that the Father seeds into the earth realm, and is producing brethren, producing sons. What does that have to do with the kingdom perspective? In other words, in order for the kingdom of God to be advanced in the earth realm, it requires you. It requires your involvement. It requires your significance. Nobody else has been created to do what only you can do. And so the Father is concerned about what concerns you. Can I tell you, beloved, listen, can I tell you this? That woven in the fabric of your being is the DNA of a king. Did you hear what I said? I don't care where you are in life today. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what you've had to come through. Listen to me when I tell you that woven in the fabric of your being is the DNA of a king. When God begins to breathe the Ruach, the Spirit, the Pneuma into man, making him a living soul, his DNA is embedded, woven in the fabric of man. That means, beloved, you are carrying the Father's DNA. You have been placed in the earth for such a time as this, that God is calling you and I into the kingdom, and our involvement in the kingdom is very significant. Can I tell you this? That neither shall say, according to the word, that lo here or lo there is the kingdom. The Bible says the kingdom is not meat nor drink, but the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And the kingdom is not without, but the kingdom is within you. That's right. Woven in the fabric of your being is the DNA of a king. And the king, in order for there to be a kingdom, which means king's domain, there must be a king seated on the throne. And can I tell you, God, watch this, did not send Jesus into this earth realm to repair religion. He sent him here, watch this, to restore kings and to introduce a kingdom. And he is encouraging me to encourage you today that you play a part in fulfilling his desire in the earth. I know it's almost difficult. It's probably strange to some to think, my God, I'm coming to him with my desires, but I've never stopped to think that God has a desire. How can I fulfill the Father's desire? What role can I play? That's right, little old me. What role can I play in fulfilling the Father's desire when it comes, my God, to my involvement in this earth realm? Why am I here? You're here because God has purpose for your life. Did you hear what I just said? I said you are here because God has purpose for your life. Jesus is the seed sown into the earth that he would bring forth many sons. Can I introduce to you a picture of God's heart when we look at the scriptures? I want to take you now into 1 Samuel chapter number 16 and begin to share with you in accordance to those four elements of the kingdom perspective. What is in the heart of the Father? What is in his mind? What's on the Father's? What is his intent concerning kingdom perspective? What is the kingdom perspective? Who better could exemplify in the scriptures other than the one who has the Father's heart? Jesus, the Lord, says that David was a man after his own heart. Can I tell you that God sent Samuel the prophet, hallelujah, to Jesse's house because God had prepared himself a king in David. Saul is currently reigning as king, but God, watch this, has brought an end, watch this, to the tension. And can I pause right now to tell you that time under tension for your life is over. I'm going to say it again. Look at me. I said time under tension for your life is over, because the king in you is desiring to live. The king in you is desiring to shine. The king in you is desiring to be made manifest in your life. And so the time under tension that you may have found yourself under, can I tell you there's a shift upon you right now that you got to believe that what has been shall be no more, just as the Lord spoke to Moses in Exodus 14 to tell the children of Israel that the Egyptians you see today, today is the last day you will see. I'm here being sent by God to tell you whatever has plagued you, whatever has suppressed you, whatever you have seemingly feel like you have been up under withholding, can I tell you that thing shifts in your favor now. God has sent me to tell you that he's removing the tension, because the king in you is desiring for you to rule well in the earth realm. The Bible is very clear when it says God is concerned about what concerns you. He is concerned about what concerns you. And so here it is now, David, the little lad at this particular point, this particular time, is out in the field tending sheep, tending his father's sheep. Indirectly, they do not belong to him personally, but he is tending the father's sheep. And the Bible says that when the prophet comes, we all know the familiar passage of scripture and how God is after a kingdom being established in the earth, that he is looking for a king that he has appointed. While Israel was begging God for a king, God did not, watch this, want Israel to rely on a system for a king. He wanted Israel to look to him for instructions, look to him for guidance. And I'm speaking to someone right now that's watching me on these airwaves. You have questions. You've been in a valley of decisions. Can I tell you that the closer you draw to God, watch this, that the Father is in pursuit of you, beloved. The Father is in pursuit of you today. And the Bible says that when the prophet Samuel reaches Jesse's house, he asks Jesse the questions to gather his sons. And so Jesse gathered his sons, and they passed by the prophet one by one, and everyone that passed by the prophet got rejected. God rejected the firstborn, because can I tell you, the firstborn, watch this, in the prophet Samuel's opinion, or in the prophet Samuel's mindset, that Saul, who was currently ruling and reigning as king over Israel, he looks a certain way, he acts a certain way, he carries himself a certain way. Well, Jesse's oldest son has the same stature of that of a Saul. Can I tell you, the Bible is very clear, when God is done with a situation and done with a thing, he brings an end to it. He closes the chapter and he writes a new one. The Bible says that when Jesse's oldest boy comes across the path of the prophet Samuel, that Samuel says, this is not the one. Well, that happened a few times, that the prophet asked Jesse, is there yet another son that you have, all of them in the house? Jesse replies, there's yet one in the field tending sheep. The Bible says that the prophet says, fetch him. Watch this. For we will not sit until he comes. We will not sit until he comes. The Bible says that they fetch David from the field. When David comes in, the Spirit of the Lord quickens the prophet Samuel. Prophet Samuel says, arise. The Spirit of the Lord says, arise, for this is he. My question for you today is, if the prophet Samuel has said, we will not sit till he comes in, how is it now that he's saying, arise, for this is he? In other words, that, my friend, is God, watch this, addressing what's in the house. Can I tell you that the brethren, according to revelational knowledge, the Lord spoke to me. He said, some, they represent the church of our day. They represent the church of our day. What do you mean? They're at a standstill, and the things are at a standstill when there's no kingdom in operation. And so the Bible is very clear, as that when David comes in, the Bible says that they say, arise, For this is he. Well, how can I get up if I'm not standing? So the Bible is very clear, and God says, I had to check the room. In other words, everything that was familiar had to change. It had to go. He had to change the very, watch this, intent of their thought process to begin to embrace his selection. And can I tell you, when things are in array and things are going in opposite of what God's intent is, you have confusion, you have disarray, you have all of this. But God is so God that he has already made provision. And the Bible says that when David comes in, my God, everything in the house stands at attention. Can I tell you, I want to announce to somebody that very thing that has been posing as opposition in your life, God says it's at a standstill now, and it's watching you being escorted to your place of promotion. Can I tell you today that what has been oppressing you, what has been opposing you, God is dealing with it. Can I tell you, your time under tension, it shifts now. And God is saying that this is your time, beloved, of favor. This is your time of restoration. This is your time of restitution. This is your time of recovery. Bible is very clear and begins to say that when David comes into the room, that the prophet begins to approach him. And the Bible says that Samuel took his horn of oil and began to pour. And I want to tell you that that is the posture of our Heavenly Father today. You who are watching me by television today, that is the Father's posture regarding you. He has his hands in the position to release upon your life. And can I tell you again, because the King in you, my God, is desiring to be seen in your life. I said the King in you is desiring to be seen in your life. Can I tell you what happens is because of obedience of David, he had no time to prepare for coming into the house. Everyone else had ample enough time to get ready. David didn't have time to get ready. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that they fetched, that he was fetched. That word fetched means he was snatched. Can I tell you, that's how quick it's going to happen for you? Whatever's been going on, God is snatching you out of it, and he's changing your environment. Can I tell you that kings are sent to change environments? You are never, watch this, supposed to identify, watch this, or become the environment you were sent to change. I'll say it again. You are never supposed to become the environment that you have been sent to change. I want to encourage you today to understand that the anointing of God is flowing even now. The anointing of God is flowing even now. I declare that burdens are being removed. I declare that yokes are being destroyed, for the word of the Lord is sure. Jesus, again, did not come to repair religion, but he came to restore kings and to introduce a kingdom. He came, watch this, to restore kings and introduce a kingdom. And so one of the elements of the kingdom is understanding kingdom principle, understanding kingdom principle. And again, relationship is the currency of the kingdom, which means that God requires you and I. He requires our involvement. As a matter of fact, God is after the corporate man, non-gender specific. He's after a corporate anointing, his kingship, his worship. The reason why you and I were created is to worship him, is to model, is to demonstrate, my God, to advance the kingdom of God in the earth. What is the kingdom of God? It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. How can we demonstrate it? We model the Father's intent. You and I become the facilitators of his heart, of his will, of his intent. It is very clear for us to understand then what is the territory within the kingdom perspective. What is the territory? It is specific location. It is the locale. My God, it is you and I. It is our heart. It is our being. It is, you have to understand, it is the what that God is concerned about in the elements of the kingdom. He has conditioned, he has prepared, watch this, himself a house in you and I that we should house the Father as we accept him as Lord and Savior of our lives. And we are to demonstrate his love and to advance his kingdom in this earth realm. So the territory, you got to understand, beloved, is you and I. We are also the subjects and the citizens of the kingdom. Got to understand this, the form of government that is to be used is us in obedience to the will of God. And so then obedience becomes key, a key principle in maneuvering and advancement and progress within the kingdom of God itself. So then you got to understand that all of this happens by us exercising our faith. The problem that I'm discovering across this nation within Christendom itself is the challenge to agree. The challenge to agree with God, to become agreeable with his will. Breakthrough and release is as close to you and I as our ability to become agreeable with God's will. Did you hear what I just said? Your breakthrough, your miracle is as close to you as you becoming agreeable with the will of God concerning your life. Did you hear what I just said? I said, you're that close. How close are you to breakthrough? How close are you to the release? How close are you to the miracle? How close? It's as simple as becoming agreeable with the word and the will of God concerning your life. God sent his son with his government upon his shoulders. And can I just tell you in closing that kings are selected from sons? In other words, the final principle I designed to share with you regarding this kingdom perspective is that of sonship. David is selected among sons. God prepared a king among sons. Are you a son of God today? Non-gender specific. Are you a son of God today? Today, I want to encourage you, if you're not, afford us the opportunity that you can become a son of God today, because God hath need of you. The body of Christ, whether it be known or not, has need of you. We need you in the kingdom, beloved. You are significant and you matter to God. And you matter to the body of Christ. I want to bless you and I want to invite you that if you do not know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, afford us the opportunity to introduce to you him to you today. He's the one that can change your entire life for the rest of your life. And I just want you to do this with me. If that's you and I'm talking to you, I just want you to do this. Say, Lord Jesus, here I am. Here I am. I've heard this declaration. I've heard this prophetic word. I've heard today. My ears have been open. Now my heart is open. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you was buried. I believe that God the Father raised you from the dead and that you are now seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me. Today I invite you into my heart to live in me. For thou, if we shall believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, we can be saved. Your word declares that if any man call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. I thank you this day for saving my life and inviting me into the kingdom of God. It's been a real joy. It's been a real pleasure. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Until next time. The Lord be with you. Amen.